south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, so let's start right off the bat with this one. Says Johnny, this is from Alden. You're always talking about the fact that gringos and expats and people moving down to Latin America need to have something to do. Keep themselves occupied or else they'll end up being a case of beer a day or a bottle of tequila a day drunks. Well, I can tell you that's 100% true, at least in the gringoized areas here in Mexico. I've been down 3 years now. Then he says, I know, Johnny, you say forget Mexico, but I only found your show a year and a half ago. I already was in Mexico. So I can prove it's 100% true that you have to keep busy down here or you will turn into a drunk. In my short time down here, I've already met quite a few who have. And I'd say most gringos, at least 60%, find something very constructive to do. They start a business, do something on the internet, do arts and crafts, swim, play golf, or tennis themselves to death. It's all good, though. However, where I am down here in the Baja, unfortunately, I found a lot of the retirement age people here, I'd say at least 30%. Are retired gringo teachers or retired gringo government bureaucrats on pensions. Funny thing though, they came down here to live because it's cheap. All the while, they're making it more expensive. Because, and your listeners know this already, where gringos congregate, higher prices soon follow. But regarding these retired U.S. teachers and government bureaucrats, they have a lot of time on their hands, so they must keep busy too. They could start real money-making businesses, but they mostly don't because they really don't know how. They never had to hire, fire, do inventory, balance the books, or work 80 hours a week, like the rest of us who made a living providing a service or making a product. So a lot of them band together and spend their free time doing the do-gooder thing. Nothing wrong with that, as you've said many times, Johnny. Except again, there's that old saying. It goes something like this. The easiest way to piss off a poor person is to stop giving them stuff for nothing. That says it all, and I could give you a lot of examples myself. The other thing that seems to be endemic here in gringoized areas is that those retired teachers and government bureaucrats feel they have to gringoize everything and at the same time save all the local poor people. So they get together and start up all kinds of clubs and organizations. And naturally, every club has a hierarchy. Seems like retired teachers and government bureaucrats just love holding meetings, creating boards, and handing out assignments. Oh yes, and there's cliques within these clubs too. If you're the new guy in town and you just show up at one of these meetings, you're not one of the old guard, so you just don't quite fit in. However, I find most of those clubs and organizations are just gossip mills, where people get together and pair off into their little cliques. However, if you want to know the latest gringo gossip and rumors going around, then that's the place to be. So, stuck with a lot of time on their hands, some gringos have a lot of energy to funnel into these organizations. It seems to me that certain types of first world people, ones that are used to working within bureaucracies themselves, they come down here and find everything so loosey-goosey, they try to put structure into theirs and, well, everybody else's life too. In other words, it seems to me that people who functioned all their adult lives in bureaucracies come down and find like-minded gringos, who also feel kind of like a fish out of water because there is no real structured bureaucracy. And they want to fix that, which is why when they get down here, they're just not happy until they join or start clubs, like travel clubs, book clubs, weaving clubs, and there's Democrats, Republicans, and Americans abroad. Worse yet, they always try to force their values on the local people too. For example, they've got all sorts of clubs to help the local indigenous women, whether they want to be helped or not. You know, some people just don't want change. But there are always some do-gooder gringos out there that are ready to force it down your throat. I've seen it. First, they soften them up by handing out some freebies. Then they hit him with the pitch. Then he said, Johnny, I was at a gringo do-gooder event once where they got a bunch of indigenous local women to attend and they dosed them with first world feminism. Then a guy got up and started telling them how bad mining was for their country. And I'm not talking about Bitcoin mining either. So, aside from that sort of social justice kind of stuff, I admit some of the events are worthwhile. They've got craft beer clubs, civic, park, hiking clubs, even, get this, clubs that organize street dog castration days. Wait a minute, meet Johnny again.
Did he say street dog castration days? Ouch. Now, if they'd sponsor politician castration days, that's a club I'd donate to. Anyway, Aaron goes on to say, in the Baja Mexican town I'm in, there are at least 25 organizations run by gringos. None of them I'd ever want to join myself, though there are some clubs that do good deeds, like the one that's organizing the castrations, the dog castrations. Man, you wouldn't believe the number of skinny, mangy street dogs you see here. Though, as mentioned previously, gringos are drawn to like-minded gringos. And so the gringos I hang with are, by and large, guys and gals who were small business owners up in the States. I found out, for me and some of my own friends, that it was the years of work, the pressure in the States, the treadmill, as you call it, the gilded cage, if you will, that becomes addictive. It's true, of course, and something that rarely comes up. My gringo friends here, who are mostly ex-businessmen, will agree the pressure's kind of a necessary lubricant in the first world machine. And if we don't have a taste of it once in a while, we get antsy. Funny enough, if you're thinking about jumping ship and moving down here to Latin America, it's easy to find out if you're one of those antsy types. Just recall your last vacation or two. If you're like me, and so many others who had real productive jobs up in the States, meaning, of course, you didn't work for government in any way, shape, or form, you find out even though you're on vacation, you just can't relax. It's like you actually feel guilty for taking the time off. Oh yes, my expat friends and I have had this discussion many times, and we all feel the same, which is why so many of us end up turning our hobbies into businesses. Even though we all swore we'd never work hard again once we got down. Oh, and Johnny, I want to touch on another phenomena. Seems like every expat, once he's been down here 3 months or so, that is, if he hasn't started in on some business ideas full steam already, you wouldn't believe, well, I guess you would, because you're Johnny, how many of these brand new expats suddenly, after about 3 months, start believing that they're some sort of expert expat. Even after a very short time down here, some expats like playing the answer man. Maybe that's an errant personality type, I don't know. Next thing you know, they've got a blog. And some of them get popular pretty fast, too, especially in gringoized areas. For example, there's expats in Medellin blog, expats in Bogota, expats in Cancun, expats in Nicaragua, and on and on. And the thing is, most of the people writing and running these things haven't even been in the country 2 years. And 9 out of 10 of them certainly don't even have passable Spanish. Worse yet, I'd have to say nearly all of them are exclusively hanging with gringos, and they never mingle with the locals on a personal friendship basis. It's the gringos who stick together versus the locals. Usually, the only dealings they have with the Latin population is when they go to the store, the bank, or the doctor, or when they're dealing with their maids or waving at the guard as they come into their gated subdivisions. So, Johnny, people should keep in mind that those expat blogs are not written by experts. Most are written by novices that don't speak Spanish, don't mingle with the locals, and most likely haven't been in the country even 2 years. I can prove that because I know a number of blog writers myself who fit right into that category. Though, I won't deny that they do have some good information on those blogs. But do you know what it reminds me of? Greek town, Germantown, or Chinatown in Chicago. I'm from Evanston, Illinois myself, but I went to school in Chicago. Then he says, every time I went to Greek town, Germantown, or Chinatown in Chicago, I noticed they all had their own weekly or even daily newspaper in Greek, German, or Chinese. All obviously directed at immigrants who didn't speak English. Then he said, you know, Johnny, I'm half German, and my grandfather once told me, you know, you're accepted into a community and you've assimilated when you no longer have to depend or lean on your local ethnic newspaper. There's a point when you get all the social and intellectual stimulation you need from the society around you. Then he says, you know something, Johnny, that never seems to happen in these highly gringoized communities like the one I'm in. So I tell people, be weary, even suspicious, of those expat blogs and bloggers. There's a lot of puffed up pseudo-experts out there putting together those things, and they know really very little about the local community except for the gringos that have been inserted into it. Oh, and watch out when bloggers give you legal advice. Oftentimes, they're completely wrong about things like residency, visa, passports, etc. Then Aaron asks this question. He says, Johnny, why is it that everywhere gringos go, they immediately start organizing clubs and groups and NGOs to impose their first world rules and regulations on everyone? It seems like they feel they need that. There is a kind of comfort in committees and groups and hierarchies. Try this, Johnny. Next time you're in a room full of gringos, just count how many times one of them says, How come the Latins don't do this, and why don't they do that? Yet you'll never hear a Latin person say, why don't the gringos do this or do that? That's because Latin people are more laid back and into live and let live. They're not interested in remolding their society. So the problem, as I see it, is the gringos come down. They start or join clubs and organizations in order to fix everything that's wrong with the Latin world. It's just so predictable and sad. I'm one of the guys who left the States because the rules and regs up there were too burdensome. And now there's all these government bureaucrats from the States retiring down here. Try to explain that. Oh, one more thing, Johnny. Talking about do-gooders, there's another type my expat friends and I call designer label do-gooders. They're not the joiner type gringos living down here I referred to earlier. They're the kind that come down for a week or two at a time with their brand name hiking and tromping in the bush clothes. Now, I'm not saying they don't come down here with very good intentions. They do. But they give away all kinds of stuff, and that leaves a lot of social and economic wreckage in its path. In the end, you don't learn the value of a buck by being poor and dependent on handouts. You learn the value of a buck by having a job, any kind of job that makes you feel like you're producing something. Anyway, Johnny, thanks for letting me rant. But if you read this, don't say my last name. Keep on keeping on, Aaron. All right, Aaron, thanks for that. He hit on a lot of topics there, and here's another email I just got that relates to one of them. He says, in regards to the statement you often make, saying that for Latin men, the world is their urinal, I'd like to say in defense of the caveman, it's a hell of a thing when a man doesn't even have the basic rights that a horse has. Come on, Johnny. You know that when two guys or two gals are having a heated debate, they'll often call it a pissing contest. Where do you think that comes from? And don't tell me you've never relieved yourself on the side of the road. Any guy who says no to that is simply a liar. Yes, I've done it countless times, and you have too, Johnny. Then he signs his name, Carol. Then in parentheses he puts, by the way, I'm a guy. Well, Carol, thanks for that email, but I take a bit of an issue when you bring up horses. At least working horses, pulling carriages full of tourists in historic districts and such, including Latin America. Yep, you see him in many places on the Gringo Tourist Trail, by the way. And you know, who isn't up for a ride in a nice horse-drawn carriage? It's a nice touch when you're on vacation, right? But note, even down here in rustic, backward Latin America, horses doing carriage duty will have obligatory poop bags attached to their butts. Nope, no designer poop bags like those uppity horses in New York's Central Park, but poop bags nonetheless. Luckily, horses don't embarrass easily, huh? Now, this directly relates back to our first email from Aaron. I know he was irritated and kind of blanketly dissed all the gringo do-gooders down here. And I'd say he's probably right in 90% of the cases, but I have seen some gringo do-gooders accomplish some great things in the area of animal welfare. Now, you long-time listeners might remember a show I did 3 or 4 years ago. We talked about how a high percentage of Latins keep their pets in unspeakable conditions. Case in point, those fantastic tropical birds in tiny cages they can barely spread their wings in. It's so sad, really, and you see that kind of stuff everywhere. It doesn't matter if the bird's being kept by a dirt-poor family with a tin check or an upper-class family with a Mercedes SUV in the driveway. In both cases, you just might find a beautiful tropical bird holed up in a tiny, stinky cage in a dark hallway or even a bathroom. It seems like in the area of animal welfare and protection, the Latins have not a clue. So when expat gringo pet lovers see this, they often step in, as in the case of horse-drawn carriages in gringo tourist areas. In fact, I've heard of a few instances where gringo Save the Pet organizations have stepped in and have actually gone to court, with Spanish-speaking lawyers, of course, and put the abusive Latin guys who own these horse-drawn carriages out of business. And some of these gringo pet welfare organizations will adopt those sickly horses and put them out to pasture. That's a good deed. Now, since those horse-drawn carriages are right out in the open for everyone to see, they're a natural for animal welfare groups to tackle. That helps, but of course does nothing for the tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of tropical birds all caged up and miserable. And of course, every Latin country and jurisdiction has animal welfare laws, but there's no enforcement. Same old, same old. I mean, let's face it, if you're driving around in a medium or large-sized Latin city and you come across a couple of 10-year-old boys juggling machetes for dimes on the corner, and there's a cop standing right there directing traffic,
doing nothing about it, how can you expect those thousands of caged tropical birds to get any notice or any kind of fair deal? That's not to say there aren't groups of semi-enlightened Latins involved in their own animal welfare groups. There are. The fact is, every medium and large-sized Latin city, especially ones with universities, have such groups, but they're small and don't have much power. So, yes, there are some privately funded shelters and clinics for abused animals and animals on the street. But down here, with all that first-world lag-time factor, it's animal activism light. You just don't see Latins picketing stores that sell leather goods. It seems, as one Latin college kid told me, Latins have come to terms with leather. Even the ones in the animal activist groups. They like it a lot and prefer it over plastic, synthetic leather stuff that seems to be everywhere these days. So that means, unlike animal activist groups up in the States, you won't see Latin activists tossing red ink on old ladies decked out in furs as they walk out of Trump Towers. Nope, you won't see that anytime soon. Mostly because it's too hot in Latin America for fur to ever have caught on. It just hasn't. Oh, and as for Latin vegans and vegetarians, I've never yet met a single one. Not one that doesn't cheat an awful lot anyway. That's not to say there aren't vegan and vegetarian restaurants all over Latin America, but they're mostly on or near the Gringo tourist trail. Or in very upscale Latin neighborhoods where people actually know the difference. So bottom line, if you go into a vegan or vegetarian restaurant, you'll see gringos and expats and Europeans and upscale gringo wannabe Latins who follow first world trends. Although most restaurants, whether on or off the Gringo tourist trail, will have a couple of so-called vegetarian items on the menu. And although Latin America is the perfect place to be a vegan or vegetarian, all you have to do is have a look at one of those big, fantastic, fresh produce markets. That said, even the most educated of Latins are just not interested. Now, for people up in the States who say it's just so expensive to eat right and organic, you really owe it to yourself to check out those big, crazy produce markets here in Latin America. Especially when you're off the Gringo tourist trail, it'll cost you a fourth to a fifth of what you're paying up in the States. In fact, at every one of my expat insider seminars, I personally lead my whole group into one of those huge markets. And as we're walking through, I make sure that I price out various items so everybody can see exactly what I'm talking about. All right, little segue here. Speaking of my next expat insider seminar, it'll be January 6th through 11th. Although we're about 4 months away, it's the perfect time to get on my early bird waiting list. And remember, it's limited to only 25 people, so send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you can't get boots on the ground right now, or make it down to the seminar, the next best thing you can do, hands down, is to take my Expat Essentials course. Just go to www.expatplanb.com, and you'll find a free video waiting there for you that explains the whole thing. And for those of you who want a personal phone or Skype consult with me, that is easily arranged. A lot of people are doing that, you know, especially those who need some advice somewhere along the way in their own Plan B. That said, I always suggest you go to www.thenewexpat.com and download my free phone consultation questionnaire form. Hey, you should download it even if you're not thinking about getting on the horn with me. You'll see it probably hits on a lot of things you haven't thought about yet, so do check it out. Where were we? Oh yeah, we were talking about animal rights and animal activists and all that stuff. In that respect, the gringo expats down here are really providing a noble service. Though with most other causes they glom onto, they tend to go way overboard. That's another reason I do not like to live on or near the gringo tourist trail. Do you really want to come down to Latin America and find more of the same? Now, speaking of animals, yes, they still have occasional bullfights here in Latin America. They were once huge deals, but nowadays, in the age of Facebook and smartphones, they seem to be dying on the vine, which is a good thing. Yet they still have them, but in most countries, they don't kill the bull anymore. Cruel and inhumane, the do-gooders say. Yet millions of cows and other animals are slaughtered each year so kids can have their happy meals. Well, you know what Expat Eddie says? He's always good for a topper. He says, at least in a bullfight, the bull has a half a chance to get even. He's allowed to fight back and sometimes gets his revenge. Now, whatever you think about bullfighting, and I do think it's kind of nasty, I was dragged some years ago to a bullfight, one in Costa Rica, believe it or not. And you know, I always rooted for the bull. I'm serious. Because Expat Eddie's right, they do have half a chance, you know. Now, here's something I'm sure you didn't know. There's something that happens quite rarely in bullfights, but it does happen. It's called an indulto. Yep, there are certain cases where a bull has been so cunning and fought so valiantly that the crowd will pull out their handkerchiefs and start waving them. And if enough of the crowd joins in with that motion, the fight is called in favor of the bull and he's spared. He's put out to pasture and lives the rest of his life in peace. And that's when he gets his promised 72 virgin cows. No, but seriously, there really is a thing called an indulto, and that's what I always rooted for. Oh, and one last thing about animals here in Latin America. You'll notice if you're down here for a while, when out in the boonies especially, you'll see lots of cows wandering around, sometimes in the road. That's because there are no feedlots here in Latin America. Up north, they're so-called corn-fed, which is unnatural, but it's supposed to be great marketing for a certain type of marbled beef, right? Well, down here in Latin America, it's the people that eat the corn, not the cows. And the cows, every day, they're sent out in the fields to graze. And since some cows are curious, like to wander and break through fences and such, they can do damage. By the way, when a kid or an animal or a pet or a wife or a husband or anyone gets into some mischief, the Latins will call that a travesura, or that person or animal is traviesa or travieso. So when you hear someone refer to a kid as travieso, that means the kid has to be watched because he gets in a lot of trouble. Though we're not talking about criminal trouble here, just annoying kinds of trouble that kids and animals can get into. So anyway, if you were to look at the way cows live here in Latin America versus the way they live up in the States, well, you'd have to say, although they always end up dying prematurely, they lead an infinitely nicer, calmer, more stress-free life here. And remember this, because most of Latin America has 3 or 4 growing seasons, you never see skinny cows. And the other ubiquitous animal that really has a good life here is the driveway chicken, otherwise known in some land countries as pollo de patio, that's a patio chicken. Pollo de patio. So when you're driving around, even in some of the big cities, you'll see chickens along the side of the road. I don't know why, but they always seem to hang around the homestead. People with driveway or patio chickens generally don't fence them in, they just let them roam. And though their fate is sealed prematurely too, until the day when they end up on someone's plate, they really did have happy, carefree lives. At least, unlike those artificially fattened and injected Tyson chickens from up north, driveway chickens have the run of the neighborhood. They'll cross the road just to get to the other side and sometimes even fly a bit. Meanwhile, Tyson and other highly processed chickens are so fat and their bones are so weak they can't even stand on their own 2 feet. You know the story. They live most of their very short lives in a 2x2 square foot area. That's why I like one of expat Eddie's favorite lines. He says, "There may not be a God, but there certainly is a devil." Oh, that applies to so many things, huh? And you know, for as many years I've been down here, there's still one thing I just don't get. How come when I go into the big market, I can buy driveway chickens, you know, kind of freshly dead, like for around $1.30 a pound? By the way, they have a perfectly natural yellowish color. And at that very same stand, there's an indigenous lady, always a lady. The driveway chicken business doesn't seem to be gender integrated. I suppose when the gringo do-gooders get around to it, they'll be demanding equal rights in the chicken business too. Anyway, right next door to those big plump driveway chicken carcasses are the Tyson or imported chicken carcasses that look all pasty and white, sickly looking like they've been dipped in chlorine bleach. Those things are going for around 80 cents a pound, half the price of the local driveway chickens, and I don't get it. The Tyson brand, which has been shipped frozen all the way from the U.S., is slowly taking over the market. Nope, there's no gringo advantage here because the people who are buying those Tysons can see there's obviously something very different about those chickens. So for the locals, it's all about the price. And really, side by side, the Tyson chickens look pathetic. Enough said about that. How about this final email from expat Frank? He says, "Don Johnny, after your recent show talking about people in Latin America, I forget the country, doing some Bitcoin mining, I'd love to do this myself. I'm assuming that if Latin Americans can do it, maybe I can with a recent standard issue Acer Aspire laptop running on a recent version of Linux Mint. However, after virtual Googling with DuckDuckGo, by the way, I virtual Google all the time with startpage.com. With both methods, you get the same Google results without all the pop-up ads and stuff. And there's no way they can track your preferences. Anyway, expat Frank says, I'm reading about having to buy an expensive desktop with hyper hardware firepower. Can you or someone you know point me to info about doing it for a profit with hardware I already have? I want to do it while I sleep with Wi-Fi from Claro DSL in my apartment complex. Anyway, Johnny, what's your opinion on Bitcoin mining in Latin America? Well, Frank, I was talking about people in Venezuela doing Bitcoin mining. Why? Because, you see, there are only two things in that country that are very, very, very cheap because they're subsidized. One's gas and one's electricity. So, if you've been investigating cryptocurrencies, specifically mining and Bitcoin mining, you know then that to get a block verified, it takes a lot of electricity these days. So much so that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency miners are moving their hardware to countries that have the cheapest electricity. That's what it's all about. Anyone can get the hardware, though that's expensive too. Problem is, you see, here in Latin America, and you live in Central America, electric rates are very high, so Bitcoin mining is really not worth it down here. However, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency miners are putting together all kinds of ways you can get into the act without actually buying any hardware. One is buying shares of an actual cryptocurrency mining outfit, and depending on the price of the cryptocurrency, you get a certain rate of return every month. Now, that's a very new concept, and in that case, you have to decide, is the outlay of dough worth the projected payback time? So, how long is it going to take for you to pay off the initial investment in the project and get positive cash flow? It's all a risk, no one can tell. However, I can put you in touch with some people in Latin America right in your neck of the woods. They're in the Bitcoin mining, but in a roundabout way. Now, of course, this thing is so new. In fact, everything about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is new. Nobody knows what they'll be at in a year or two. Though there could be a huge payout. And nobody knows if these outfits that you're dealing with or buying into are really legit or have any kind of long-term track record at all, because there is no long-term yet. So anyway, forget about straight Bitcoin or cryptocurrency mining as the big boys are doing it now. They have huge banks of computers that are in countries where electricity is very, very cheap. You just can't compete against those guys. However, there are a lot of other, less straightforward ways to be a Bitcoin miner. That is an option if you're a bit of a techie. Though, none of this cryptocurrency stuff is for the faint of heart. You know, most gringos and expats down here are chance takers by nature. It's in their blood, or they wouldn't be down here. And if you're living down here now or planning to come soon, you have won sort of a lottery, you know. Because, you see, soon someone or something is going to press the reset button up in the first world, and you don't want to be there when that happens.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.